Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Jack Vanek, Kelty Knight, and Becca Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thanks for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you every single week for free.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the lady gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The lady gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang. I am Becca Tobin here with Kelty Knight and Jack Vanek.
I can't believe it's like the end, like it's December, ending December's ending, and it's like 2 years of Lady Gang.
I know.
It feels like it's 1 year. Like I keep thinking when people ask, like, oh, when did you start? I'm like, oh, a year ago.
Yeah, like we had 100 episodes. It's been a year.
Yeah, no. It's like 2 years. Yeah.
Over 2 years.
I guess it took about a year for us to like figure out what the hell we were doing.
Yeah, got
and
the right
we
name.
Were called something else for a good
yeah,
amount of
so
time.
Really.
Not
yeah.
for that long.
It was like, probably like 4 months.
No, I think
way.
It was like 4 weeks and then she started like threatening
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like then a little bit more.
January.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
Anyway.
The woman who owns the trademark that it is no,
the Voldemort
to be.
Of Lady Gang.
Voldemort.
Yeah, we know who you are. Ew.
Bitch.
We love women here at the Lady Gang. And now it's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't even know where to consider this thing that I saw as a good week or a bad week. So I'm just like throwing it as a good week. I was at Ulta the other day and this lady walks in to the store and she like has like a shopping bag and everybody just like starts looking at like the bag and like of what she's carrying. And she's like, oh, she was four. And she's like, oh, Chihuahua, Chihuahua, Chihuahua. And I look at the bag and she has like her daughter in a shopping bag coming out of
this.
It was the weirdest thing. I'll post it in the Lady Gang Facebook, but like literally just...
Wait, what?
Like a four-year-old daughter. And it's not like a Kenny sort of like a carriage thing. It's like a plastic shopping bag she was carrying her daughter in.
Oh my God.
And telling
God.
Me that it was
game
a
they
Chihuahua.
Like to play.
I don't know.
Oh
it was
my
so
God.
Weird.
Wait, I just opened a group text. I just need to go back to it. I'm so... She's also like... She's probably five.
She's too old to be in a bag.
No, and she finally went out, like got out of the bag. She was at least like 4 years old. Like she was not like a
I think
baby.
It's a game they play.
Like oh, be the little doggy now.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It was.
Oh my God. She's going to need therapy.
I'm going to make you guys carry me around in a bag.
And it
soon.
Was so good because like in the bag, like she must have been like contorted in the bag a little bit because she looked too big. The head looked too big to be in the bag. It was so
That's
weird.
That's so weird. That is that illegal?
I don't know. It really freaked me out. So that was my good week, I guess. My bad week is Becca is it can be a bad week for you too as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the Instagram of Becca on People. Have we talked about it on the
yeah,
podcast?
Yeah, we talked about it.
So they posted a photo.
Is it me as Larry David?
No, it's your face photoshopped on me and my ex doing the jack.
Oh my God, I saw that, but I didn't realize it was you.
That's me.
I thought it. For some reason, but whose face?
I don't. Is that both of your faces?
Oh, it is.
It's Becca's face
oh,
on both of
see,
us.
See, I didn't notice. I didn't know that was my face. It kind of looked like Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
And then.
The Becca on People account loves to take
I
pictures
was,
of Elizabeth
thought,
Olsen
no,
and
I
put them on
People. Elizabeth
people.
Olsen was the original face on this photo.
Oh. No, that's me.
This is so
amazing.
Okay, now it's so...
Becca on People likes all my Instagram photos, and you know I'm down for likes, so
Do
keep it coming.
Is Becca on People, like, are they a lady ganger? Or
yeah,
are they just, like,
yeah,
a super fan?
Yeah, because she's listened... when I talked about it on the podcast, she apologized to me for making her account private. Because one week I was like, I'm so sad. Becca on People Facebook account is private now. And then she, like, messaged me, I think, and said something like, I made it unprivate.
And you
like,
still never
God.
Followed it.
I don't know. I think I did. I don't know. But I see those photos all the time. The one that I saw recently was me on Larry David, which
I saw
was
that.
Alarming.
It was so good. That was a really good Photoshop
Honestly,
job.
You were pretty ugly as Larry David.
It was hideous
I
as
think
Larry
anybody
David.
Anybody as Larry David's pretty ugly.
Wasn't
is it?
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So that was...
Congrats, Jack.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That
was a very...
I'll go next. My bad week is I was on a hike this week and I saw this little kind of like fly gnat thing like flying around and right before it went inside of my mouth and I swallowed it, I was thinking I should shut my mouth right now, but what are the chances of this bug flying into my mouth? Cut to, it hits like the back of my throat.
No.
Oof.
And I could taste it.
Oh.
Ooh, for
what
like
did it taste like?
It actually tasted like a plant, like lavender, oh, sort of.
Interesting.
But it was the weirdest thing. And so for the rest of the hike, I was thinking, you know how bad my luck is with like dengue fever, with all the things that I have had happen, my staph infection.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was thinking, this is the time like that I swallowed something that's so poisonous.
You're done.
Or it's like a Zika.
Or something like that. Yeah, right. Like in my mind, that's now where my head goes, is the worst case scenario. Still standing, though.
Mm, I think you'll be fine.
Did you poop it out?
Probably, but like how?
She's looking at all of her poops to see if there's a gnat.
It's really
going
to be hard to find that thing.
Yeah.
Good week. This is a good week by proxy.
Yes.
I know a girl who had sex with her postmate.
Oh, yes. My God. That's
oh,
amazing.
My God. That is like a millennial porn.
So was like he delivered the food, left. They started texting and he came back over.
She ordered her food from Postmates.
What restaurant?
It was Thai food, I think.
Ooh.
And
nice. Good food. Nice
he
dinner.
He delivers the food. And I guess they get to chatting. Because, you know, sometimes if it's like
a little chat.
Like I've had a chat with, they're usually females that I chat with. But I guess if I were single and if he was attractive, maybe I would chat more. But she just, I guess they were chatting and they fornicated.
But you're like, you know, it's not going anywhere. No one wants to be like, I can't wait to date
they
that Postmates driver.
They saw each other again. And
then it was
he brought dinner back. He brought dinner over the next time, too.
The one that she asked for, paid for?
Like, no. So she had the sex with him. And then I guess they made plans to hang out again. And she was like, I'm going to call in an order. Like,
and he brought
so
it in.
So she did pay for the dinner. Yeah, he picked it up again and brought
now
it over.
Now they like can only
and is
have
it over
dates?
Now?
As far as I know, there was not a third interaction, mm-hmm. but like that's crazy.
That's a hot story.
Have
though.
You seen that? It's like a meme of a girl that she like ordered Postmates from this guy, mm-hmm. and then like was like wasted eating it, and then was like sending him selfies of her eating it, and then so he was sending selfies back, but he was like 60.
Shut the hell
of, like
up.
Him in the mirror like flexing
no.
and shit. Oh, it's so good.
That's
and she was like, oh my God, what did I do last night?
Oh my God. Yeah. That's
goals.
Good. Great. Kelty?
Good week.
Kelty,
after reading
also,
off my
speaking
phone.
Of a meme, Kelty is this meme that I just posted where it's like, when somebody else is telling a story, all I can think about is when they finish and I can start my story
that
involves
true.
Me.
Because
I saw her like fidgeting with her phone
no, because
so
I'm
excited.
Nervous about
well,
this.
And she likes to keep on track. And so sometimes when our guests are here, she looks back at the digital clock. And in my mind, I thought, make a mental note, move the digital clock here so it's less
no,
it's
true.
It's less obvious so like, that she's it's like when you're on a bad date and the person just keeps checking their watch. Like, ooh,
like, so when is this gonna end?
No, I was nervous because I had brought this up to read as my good week, but then it kept going back black and I wanted to keep it illuminated
okay.
for
oh,
time.
So your anxiety was what
yeah,
we were
yeah, it was
now
my anxiety.
It's your time to shine, Kelty.
Okay. My
shine,
good week.
Shine, girl.
I got an email to my personal email account. On my website. Subject. I took an Ambien, but this is good.
Oh, it sounds like it's from me.
This is definitely not from you.
Oh.
Kelty, I just love how on the pod you talk about how you are a zealous loser because it is not true. Girl, you hustle. You made a name for yourself in Hollywood, and BTWS is an enormous deal. I don't even know what that is. Huge. You have gorgeous skin.
Dancing no one with the Stars?
Yeah,
maybe they meant to say that.
No one can see any acne for here, and you are super thin and stylish. I say this because I'm a 34-year-old lady ganger who's learning how to love myself. I'm in school and I work full-time, so one day I can be a nutritionist. I'll be a guest in 3 years when I get my creds, okay? Botox, peels, Invisalign, fewer calories, all that noise because I never knew how to be a woman, and you guys are teaching me that self-improvement is a good thing, not an embarrassing give-up thing. Hustle is a good thing because my fam wasn't Morgan What's-Her-Face loaded doesn't mean I can't heat style my hair and watch YouTube videos on how to put fake eyelashes on or how to wear a sleeveless mock turtleneck with a blazer. Wait, Richard, ditch the mock turtleneck. It's cute. Banana. You, Kelty Knight, inspired this in me. You also settled my last doubt about my amazingly sweet, secure, gorgeous, kind fiance who doesn't make me want to die with anxiety. I can't tell you how priceless that advice is. I have a few Hollywood role models and guess what? You are one of them. But I think you're talking down to yourself on the pod that you are normal and showing us that you're normal and we all do it. But also, we should talk better to ourselves. Mirror message? My hustle is my highlight reel. This shit makes me. And talking about farting in the gym makes me feel like, okay, I'm a normal woman and it's also funny. Thanks for giving me someone to look up to. I hope you feel good about your hot body, your successful career, your style, and your hustle today, girl. You're such a badass. Maybe the Emmy statue can't protect you from intruders, but who needs it when you are the winner of the Real Women's Award? And real women just kick intruders in the balls anyway or shoot them in the with mace. Please don't measure your greatness by obscure standards by people like Harvey Weinstein. You have made it. Bask in your glory. P.S. I want to roll you up and put you in my pocket. I hope you get this, and I'm not just ruined this nice note. It's a Lady Gang fan joke and not as funny as I explained it. Seriously, is it a prescription retinol you're on? Do I put it on my whole face or my chin or a serum? What do you do about the morning sweat crown after you work out? How do you get your hair to recover for the rest of the day?
This is really love, taking Molly. A turn.
Holy shit, Molly. You are on Ambien and maybe cocaine.
No, that's definitely Ambien. Also,
answer her question about the retinol, though.
Oh, I do use a prescription Retin-A, and I just put it on like once every 4 days.
What do you do about your sweat crown?
I try not to sweat, and I just wash the front of my hair and blow dry just my bangs.
Okay. I thought it was important that we answer all the questions.
Okay, can I go to my bad week now?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Molly at all?
I love Molly so much, and actually Molly put into words what sometimes I feel, and that maybe people tune into this podcast, and sometimes they think, these are a bunch of shallow-ass bitches. Why aren't you talking about things that are important? Why aren't you talking about politics or whatever? You know what? Part of being a woman and embracing being a woman and accepting being a woman and being proud of it is the whole thing of taking care of ourselves and not being afraid of saying, yes, I do spend time and energy on feeling good and looking good, and there's nothing wrong with that.
This is an excellent segue into my bad week.
Get it in.
I'm about to bless you. Even Elena doesn't know this. Well, I've tried to keep it a secret from her. With the greatest bad week story in the history of the Lady Gang.
Let's go.
I doubt it.
100%.
I could probably dig up a bad week of mine.
Saturday night, I had crazy drunk sex all night. Crazy, crazy drunk sex. I was so drunk, I woke up on Sunday morning and I had to roll over to my...
You were in New York, correct?
I was in New York. Mm-hmm. I had to roll over to my husband and say, I had the craziest sex dream about you last night, or did we actually have sex? And he was like, no, we had sex. And I was like, it was amazing. Because I was so drunk, I didn't remember.
Sounds amazing.
Then I went home on the plane. Then I woke up Monday morning with a raging UTI. Raging. So painful. Felt like I was going to throw up. I was like, oh my God. So I took all the cranberry pills and I was like, it's fine. Like, I always get these. Like, I just must have been so drunk that I didn't pee after sex. So I probably, like, that's how I got the UTI. Monday afternoon, I went for a workout with Rebecca to the gym. I'm still feeling like shit, but I'm like, no, I got to get this workout in. I got to do my workout. I'm walking back from my workout and I have a slight feeling in my vaginal hole, like something's in there. And I'm like, whoa, this is pretty weird. So then I go to the bathroom and I have explosive diarrhea. And I'm like, God, what is going on? God, this UTI is really bad. And then I realize that there's been a tampon inside my vagina since Saturday evening. It's been silly up into the back of my uterus. And it's been now sitting there for 48 hours rotting. And it has now decided to be loosened by my squats. And I have realized it's in there. So I was already planning on calling my friend Jess, whose husband is a doctor, and like getting the antibiotics for the UTI. And when I called him, I said, I also found like a 3-day-old tampon that had been silly up into the back of my cervix. And he said, no, you actually have to go to the doctor because you probably have toxic shock syndrome.
Right, because you usually get that after like 12 hours.
So then I had to deal with the UTI, rager UTI, and go to the urgent care, not even my gyno, because they couldn't get me in, and explain to a complete stranger that I accidentally got drunk, had sex with my husband, forgot to take out my tampon, had so much sex with him that it had been up and then turned sideways so I couldn't feel that it was inside me, let it rot for like a cross-country flight, an entire more night, and then a sweaty workout, and then had to pull it out. I need to tell you, the smell of this tampon was a bad week.
Rancid. I'm sorry. I'm in such a, like... Holy,
this is bad.
My first reaction, from my friend was, are you like 15?
No, but like really.
That's bad.
I knew when you texted us in the group text, I'm drunk. Shit was gonna go downhill.
Yeah, and she was posting in the Lady Gang too. Like all misspelled everything. Like,
you're such a 12-year-old.
I know.
Wait.
Wait, so what was, did anything happen?
You didn't have TSS. I was fine. I'm taking now antibiotics for my UTI.
So was it a UTI or were you like...
It was just a raging UTI, but you can get it.
Combo platter.
It was a combo platter of like...
You're going to get like a yeast infection
jizz,
too.
I thought you were going to say tampon. You did anal and that's how you got a UTI and you didn't remember.
Can you get UTI from anal?
I don't know the
that's
answer.
That's like two different things.
Jack Vanek.
What?
That is how you get a UTI a lot of the time, majority of the time.
No, I would say
poo particles. Right. That's why we were taught.
But that's if their penis is in your butt and then goes in your vagina.
That's what I'm saying. I thought she was going to say that she was so drunk that he double dipped.
Yeah. No.
He took his,
it's worse.
What, is it, what are those dipping sticks?
Yeah.
He put it in ripping
orange
dips.
And grape.
No.
Orange and grape.
Called? Orange and grape.
Oh like my steak. God, we have to.
No.
Someone, I bet
the white
are,
and they're screaming at us in their cars right now.
It's a rip and,
no,
it's a dip it's and a, rip or something.
Fun dip.
Fun dip. Not a rip and dick. Anyway, so the best part about the entire thing is that
I
got home from the doctor's last night and I had said to my husband, I'm never like even touching your penis again. I have this horrible UTI because I knew I got the UTI. I didn't realize there was a tampon left in me.
Did you tell him?
No, he's going to hear it on the podcast. Hey, Chris. Because I'm too embarrassed. I could never tell him to his face. So then I got home. I got home on Monday night after the doctor. And I'm still so sick because I haven't taken the medicine yet, right? Like the tampon has been removed, but like I'm still so sick. And he's like, do you want me to bring you dinner or whatever? And I said, I'm just going to need a minute because there's so much drama going on down there that I don't know if you know this, but sometimes when you have a UTI, you also have like a flow of diarrhea. And I was having both ends of pain.
Holy.
Do I win? It is the worst
it's
one.
Pretty, that
it's just like gross. Speechless.
Speechless.
Yeah, I couldn't it's not even, like a funny one. It's like that sucks.
I couldn't find words.
Have you ever left a tampon inside you by accident?
No, but remember I got one stuck inside me?
Yeah. It's different though.
No.
Like, do you think he felt it?
Did you not wake? No, he didn't feel it. Although sometimes Zach says he can feel my IUD.
I've had that too. But if you had had it and it was
like he was probably really drunk too, right?
I don't know how drunk he was because I was like six sangrias in and just having the time of my life.
Sangrias.
I mean, good for you for having great sex in New York.
And not remembering, but then like remembering as a dream.
And then this is, you know, your remembrance from it is.
But I hate tampons.
I hate tampons.
Why is there not an option for us? Anyway.
Why do we get punished?
No, it's like
for having.
No, we should be like, you're now 10 pounds skinnier every time you're not pregnant.
Yeah.
I should lose 10 pounds for having sex with my husband.
Thank you. And also, it's so unfair.
Not a raging UTI and a, like.
Leftover tampon and
a
with
smelly,
jizz in
rotten
it.
Tampon.
That is like so.
Jesus. Unbelievable.
What well, did it I smell like? Please, I need to know.
I can only. Like, I can imagine.
What
I
did it
know
smell
it.
Like?
It's like, I know it.
I know.
I can like almost smell it.
What did it smell
it's
like?
So gross.
It's like it
like
was
when
a
you
mix.
Go into the airport and you know that a woman has like not bathed.
Does it smell like? Is it like so bad that it doesn't smell like vagina anymore?
Whole,
now it's just trash.
I'll tell you that it was like covered in a mucus membrane.
I wonder if we're going to lose all of our sponsors.
No chance. But I know that any man has shut it off, even Chris Knight at this point.
Because it's like all the period blood, but that's like in.
And,
that's like that was in a couple
in
days
it.
Ago.
Yeah.
And then
now
like
it's
on
just
top
your
of it is like the mucus.
Did the bathroom smell?
Where did you get it out? At your own house?
No, it came out right here in the dressing room.
Did you know change the crime? Garbage?
Of course I changed it. Garbage gets changed every day.
Didn't
no,
you flush
I was
it?
Working out. I flushed it. Yeah, I was working out and then I was walking back and it had like loosened. So I didn't know it was up
at
there for like 2 days.
Out. Thank God you worked out.
Thank God I worked out even when I had the UTI.
Oh my God.
So many things. We need to move on.
We need
We've
to
been
move
on this
on.
Topic for so long.
Okay, we got it.
But when anyone sees me on television, just remember
oh
that
my God.
Story.
Molly, did you hear that? Your idol.
is 12. Okay, when we come 12. Back. One of the most famous ladies in the world is coming to our show.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
Hello, everyone. Our guest today is a former Miss Golden Globe who also happened to then get nominated for a Golden Globe. She's best known for being the right-hand woman to Ellen on her show Ellen, the sitcom, which is different from Ellen, the talk show for all of you young bitches out there. She's also a freaking Broadway star, making her Broadway debut as Rizzo. Yeah. Rizzo, and then a bunch of other stuff. She's basically way too good to be here, but don't tell her that. She's a brand new memoir that I am just loving called Growing Up Fisher, Musings, Memories, and Misadventures. I've been listening to it nonstop and audible in my car. Number one, you have a great voice. Number two, you've had a crazy-ass life. Also, she's part of the Hollywood Fishbowl, a lady with famous parents and an extra-famous blended family. That's right, Princess Leia was her sister, guys. She's here to talk about the book and talk about her life in Hollywood. Please welcome to the Lady Gang, Jolie Fisher. Welcome.
Thank you. Wow. Now, that was extraordinary.
It was?
Yeah.
Now, we have a mutual friend that used to work at The Insider with me, Bryant.
My number one gay.
Number one gay? Okay.
Yeah. Love him.
I can't say that in mixed company.
Okay. Number two. Sorry. So I wrote him and I said, you'll never believe it. Jolie agreed to come on the podcast. Like, I'm dying. I'm so excited. You know, what should I ask her? Is there anything I should stay away? And he goes, Kelty, she's the best and she's super naughty. She'll fit right in.
Oh.
That's all he said about you.
He didn't say, like, she's so intelligent. She's so articulate.
Unfortunately.
What a great mom.
Right.
Just,
no,
just naughty. That's it.
I want to start with my very favorite thing that you say in the book. Say it twice.
Oh.
You talk about having a black belt in rock bottom. That is such a
move. Do you like it?
I like it.
So tell me what that means to you.
See, I don't want to come off as like whiny in any way ever. I want everybody to know that I've led a charmed, beautiful, amazing life and that I feel like I'm my best self now having just turned 50 years old.
Hot 50.
You look so good.
Thank you very much. Smoking hot. But... it hasn't always been so easy. Like people, their perception is that, you know, everything's automatic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That the career came to me so easily, that love came to me easily, that my struggle isn't real. It's the same problems in different square footage, you know, all those things. But it's like, I struggled with a lot of the same things that y'all here at the table did and all of you out there listening that I think every young person, I won't say a young woman, but yeah, for right now, that's because that's what I am. The same things that happen in every life happened to me and happened in a strange way because I had this glamorous, radiant, transcendent superstar mom who was a sex idol, sex kitten, and who was my watermark. And I was like, oh, geez, how am I ever going to be anything like close to that? And then, what if I'm more than that? Or, you know, and not having, being fatherless for most of my childhood, she was all I had to turn to.
Right.
So I kind of watched how she navigated everything and was like, okay, that looks good, but that's yucky.
Right.
You know, which you're hearing some of it probably.
I love it. And what I also love about you in the book is that you are unashamed to work a red carpet. Because in Hollywood, girls, we talk about this a lot. In Hollywood, everyone has to be like, oh, me, I just ended up on this red carpet. Sorry, I just look over my shoulder. I didn't really want to be here. But I appreciate a woman that's like, oh, no. I belong on the red carpet. I am STAR. And like, because you were been on them since you were a babe.
It hasn't always been like I dropped onto it and like, wow, am I fabulous. I mean, you know, the struggle is real in terms of body image and that kind of thing. I felt alive when the flash bulbs would go. And I was, you know, from the age of a toddler on up, I was like, ooh, wow, okay, I like how this feels to me. So there's something kind of cellular that happens to me when I hit red.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I love that.
Isn't that hot?
Cellular. Yeah.
That's so hot, right?
That is hot.
I love that so much. When you talk in the book about sort of the ups and downs, you know, the Ellen moment was a very, very popular moment. You guys were like the biggest sitcom, of course, is when she came out as gay. It was like everywhere in the world. You were the best friend. How did that sort of change your life?
Well, I say it was really kind of her to be the star of my show.
I like that.
Yeah,
I love it.
Too.
It's so kind of you guys to be the star of my...
You know, it was a thrill for me to have landed that job after kind of like, you know, auditioning for 29 pilots, not the band, but actually 29 pilots that year.
And oh my God, this is all so good.
This is the book, everyone. You need to read the book.
I only speak in sound bites. But I slid into a role where two other women had been let go. And so they created the role of Paige, and I was, you know, completely enamored with playing her. And then there was like something that was amiss. You know, we were a success and it was high in the ratings and whatever, but something was amiss. And she came out in tandem with her character. And there was a lot of backlash, too. Right. It was scary. There were bomb threats. We had dogs go through the stages every time did a taping. There was a lot of negative. I don't know if you've read this part yet, but I said my children were in the backseat of my car, my littlest girls. And Luna, my baby, goes, you're going to be on that Ellen show today. And I said, yeah, it's the 20th reunion. And my daughter, True, said, you know, mommy was on a show with Ellen, on a TV show. And she's like, oh, yeah. Well, what I said, do you understand what the big deal is about this 20th reunion of this episode of the show? And they said, no, tell us. So I said, well, you know, it wasn't normal for the lead of a show to be gay and especially female. And it paved the way for, I mean, they don't know these shows, but Will and Grace and Transparent and The Fosters and Modern Family and all those things that we all, you know, that are hilariously written, funny shows, but we accept the gay characters as lead characters.
Right.
And they both stared at me. They were like,
they haven't lived in a world where that was weird.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. And I was like, I did my job too.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. No, that's
right. Like,
such a great thing.
You know, they know people that love who they love and they don't care and they don't see color and, you know, all that thing. So it was an incredible experience. And then it was, you know, it is something that is always brought up. So I'm proud of that, you know?
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah. And like people they watch the show.
Yeah.
A lot of them for me too. So, yeah. And I like that. They're like, oh, that was my favorite character.
Oh, I love that.
A lot of women do.
You talk in the book about seeing drugs for the first time. And it is like insane that you like were so young. You had no idea.
You know, it was sort of like people kind of ran with that. And I think that it was sort of like some of the delicious writing, some of the more delicious writing that I like and that I want people to read, the beginning of the chapter about the fishbowl. And then to read The Apple Doesn't Fall Apart Very Far from the Tree, which is the addiction chapter. And I say in it that my first experience with drug use was as a toddler. Now, clearly, I wasn't using drugs as a toddler, but I found a letter from my father. And I say in the book, it was the most of his handwriting I had ever held, which is, I think, you know, I had only seen Eddie Fisher's autograph. I had never seen that much of his writing. And it was a letter to me. And he was in it describing this scene that I felt like I had seen in my life. I felt like I had seen him shoot drugs. And in the letter, it was confirmed that I had been around it as a baby and as a toddler, clearly, because my parents were not together after I was, you know, two and a bit. So so it has always been sort of like on the periphery of my life in many instances. And then, you know, I've had my own struggles with substance, but I also think addiction comes in many forms. It comes in shopping and eating and people and fame and substance, of course. And I think that if you have it in your DNA and you are feeling like you need to fill holes, or you're feeling insecurity, or you feel like you need to quiet demons, or whatever it is, people turn to other things to do that. Mm-hmm. And in this family, it was cocaine.
There you go. There you go. So for most of the people that come by the podcast, we always ask them the same two questions, which is, what is your Hollywood heartbreak and what is your ish moment? So let's start with the positive.
Okay.
What is your ish moment? This is the moment where you're like, I am the ish. I'm super famous. I'm super successful. Everyone wants to be me.
And
right now.
Well, like, oh my God. I'm in a small room, a small pink room.
With
these three basic bitches.
It's got really good lighting in it, though, by the way.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You know, I don't know. I will say I was in, I don't know if it's that big of a moment, but I was in Bloomingdale's in New York riding the escalator and somebody came running down after me. And it was a woman and she was like, I just saw you for the first time on TV and oh my God, you're incredible. And you made me laugh. And, you know, it was like one of those kind of moments for me. I write several times in the book that, you know, when they say I was you're our girl, because I remember hearing that from Jordan Kerner, who produced Inspector Gadget, which I went through, you know, many auditions and screen tests and all that sort of thing. And he called me in my car. I was on Wilshire Boulevard. The top was open. The sunroof was open. I answered the phone. He said, it's Jordan. He said, you're our girl. And I was like, I still get goosies thinking about it. Like if something had changed for me. Now, I don't know if like, you know, 10 years later, I was like, couldn't get a job or, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
So that's I don't cool. know.
It's
Those
so
are kind of ish.
My husband once asked me, like, what do you really want? And I said, I just want to be top of the list because I'm always like fourth or fifth. And like after these three people say no, they'll hire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like,
you know, the game they wanted, they could have had, they got.
Yeah.
Have you ever played that?
No.
Because it usually ends in me.
I love that.
Wait, do a couple.
They wanted.
That's fun.
Yeah.
They wanted Robert De Niro. They could have had Alec Baldwin. They got.
I have to be careful.
Don't say
the wrong
thing.
Okay,
Becca, Andy did.
Okay, you do one, Becca.
Oh, shit.
But
I don't
about
know.
Yourself. About yourself.
Oh, my God. It's not like I'm like 17th on the list. So, like, that's not even fun. I did get told while shooting a movie that by the producer's 16-year-old daughter,
she
wandered into the makeup trailer and she looks at me and she's like, yeah, they talked about wanting Lea Michele to do this.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I was like, okay.
Well, like you got me.
Like, well, I'm friends with Lea, so I'm going to thank her for saying no.
Yeah.
Thanks for the job, bitch.
Thanks, bitch. Get out. Like, wow. It was just one of those moments where I was like, I mean, obviously, but you don't have to tell me.
That you knew that when you got the script delivered to you, because they used to actually come in the script
form,
that they had it had fingerprints all over it.
Yes.
That's what I used to say. Like, someone else's fingerprints are on that.
Completely.
Oh, no. Last year when I hosted the parade for the second time, my boss was literally like, you know, we really, really want Nora O'Donnell. You know, she's from CBS this morning. They're like, we just love her. She's so great. But she always wants to take Thanksgiving off, so I guess we'll have you.
I did a role in I'll Do Anything, which was James L. Brooks, the one movie that like tanked for him, but he's a dear friend. He wrote a quote for me on the back of my book. I adore him. I had 8 auditions for that movie.
Damn.
But I had the best line in the whole movie because we were the development people at a studio. We all worked for Albert Brooks and we were casting the role. It's Jolie Richardson, Vicki Lewis, Anne Haech, me, Julie Kavner. We were all sitting around and we watched Nick Nolte's screen test. And we all say, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And he says to me, would you fuck him? And I said, 6 years ago, maybe.
Oh, my God.
And it was like in all the trailers and, without the F word.
That's
of course.
Great.
Sorry, I said
that's
the F
amazing.
Word.
That's amazing. It's okay. So Hollywood heartbreak. What was the job that was supposed to be yours? You're
all
supposed
of them?
To be the girl.
Yeah.
That was.
You were like, I was going to be Phoebe
hit.
On Friends, and then no. You know?
I auditioned for all 3 parts on Friends.
Did you?
Yeah. I never got further than they brought me back in and said, read for the other part. But then I got Ellen that year.
It was.
Oh my gosh.
That's fascinating.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of parts that I watch. That I, I say my mom raised up a smoky-eyed, green-eyed monster. But I do watch a lot of performances, and I'm a fan of actors. Like, I love actors, actresses, whatever. But I do watch some things, and I go, damn it, why wasn't I in on that? Or I remember reading that script, and I wasn't considered for it. Or a lot of them. I can't think of the one role.
How do you get over the rejection and keep going?
Wine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And I you know, my kids are now kind of all my 2 stepsons. My one son was nominated for 2 Grammys today. Cameron Duddy. He's in the band Midland.
Congrats.
And their song Drinking Problem. And my other son, Colin Duddy. Those are my those two boys came with the deal, but they've been my boys for 21 years. Has a show called Last Minute Trips on YouTube that's like a big hit.
Yeah.
And my 16-year-old daughter is a beautiful dancer, and she can sing and she can play piano and guitar by ear. Like, never had a lesson, nothing.
Wow.
Amazing. I don't know if that's what she wants to do. The middle girl has a beautiful voice. The youngest one is like a stand-up comic and a dancer. I hope none of them end up in show business, really.
You're screwed.
Amen.
I'm totally screwed.
No, it's crazy. Listen, I work in the entertainment business, and so it's always my job to know the news before the news breaks and hear things. One of the things that I thought was just unbelievable learning about you online and this book tour was that TMZ knew about Carrie before you did. That is insane. And you talk about this in the book, how
I was doing a play in Laguna. I was doing this British panto theater, and I was playing Maleficent, and I was singing and I was dancing, and I had been texting with Carrie the night before she got on her fateful flight. And for some reason, we had this great text exchange that was unusual because we went a little deeper. We were talking about our moms, and my mom had a stroke, and she said, oh my God, I know that territory. And we talked about aging, and I said, oh my God, you should see me on stage. I'm shaking my moneymaker like I'm not, haven't done it in so long. And she was playing a witch in a movie, and we're all going to be together for Christmas. And no pun intended, her phone died. And so then when I woke up the next morning, I looked, and she had finished the conversation. So I was like, cool. So I got up, and I'm getting ready to go to do a matinee. And the phone kept ringing, and it was an 818 number, which we all know now because Kathy Griffin put it out on the internet. But it was ringing, and it was ringing, and I was like, God, who's trying to get a hold of me? And the cell service was really bad where I was staying. And finally, I was just like, shit. I picked it up, and it was Harvey Levin.
Wow.
And first of all, like, how'd you get my cell phone number? And what's happening? And he said, I want you to confirm that Carrie Fisher had a heart attack on the plane. And I was like, what? I don't even know what you're... I mean, it like caught me off guard. First of all, I was like, I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
Because why are you... You know, like it was just a weird moment for me. And then, of course, I was frightened for the news if it was true.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So immediately sort of swung into action and went down the hill where the cell service was better and found out that it was indeed true.
How did Harvey get your phone number?
I don't know. I didn't end up having like a great long conversation with him.
Right. He was just like trying to call you to confirm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what?
So like,
I think somebody
violating, tweeted
from the plane.
I'm sure.
That it had happened.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There were people that were there.
Well, first, obviously we're so sorry.
Thank you.
For your loss.
For all of our loss.
Yeah, of course. But when I asked Brian about it, I said, do you think I can bring it up? And he said, no, you got to ask her about these texts because this... Something happened with this. You guys had these matches. So tell me about the text messages a little bit.
Well, I wrote,
and I know you talk about
did.
It. Over the head.
I mean, I did. I basically told you what it was. It was, it was just for some reason there was like just a bit longer of a conversation because we're all so busy. And, and so I think what he's probably saying is that, I screenshotted each like block of text and like saved them to a hard drive because I was like, that was my last communication. And then it has sort of become this thing that I just hang on to. That's all.
Does it inspire you to continue creating art when you have these things happen? Your mom has a stroke, you lose your sister, or do you just want to like run and jump in a puddle and just never come out?
I mean, I have risen like the phoenix. Sort of. All of these things do sort of like take you down momentarily. The health of my mother was like, I literally white knuckled that for like a year and still do to a certain extent. We just all had an amazing Thanksgiving in New York. We got my mother on a plane. She went shopping in New York. We went to
Fabulous.
Theater.
Amazing.
And she was really happy. And she said, I never want this to end. And I was just like, oh my God.
Mm,
it
yeah.
was just like one of those sweet but honest moments from her, and obviously the trip had to come to an end. So I still am, that's still like always in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
She's my mom, but it did inspire me to tell my stories.
Right.
Because everybody's always said, oh, my God, you should put that in a, you should write a book. You should write a book.
Yeah.
So finally I was just like, OK, I will. And some of the stories, somebody told me in a memoir, there's no new information. So none of it is made up. It's all, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all the stories I've been listening to and telling my whole entire life. And I had to sort of focus and say, you know, what were the details of that? How did it smell? What, you know, and I feel like I really did that. I feel like when you read even some of the stories of my childhood, you are catapulted back to like the 70s and you see us all in Malibu on the beach. And
it's crazy. Do you think that growing up in the fishbowl made it harder for you to be a success because you were coming after? Because here's the thing. From my perspective, I always look at, like, my parents are nobodies. My dad's a mechanic. And so I'm always like, it was so hard for me because I couldn't walk through any door and I had to struggle so hard. But I think sometimes being from a well-known family is also really hard because the expectation is so high.
It's you're definitely under scrutiny for just about everything. I mean, not just about your career and, you know, it's like, you know, who does she look like? What does she sound like? You know, how does she, did you see her with a cigarette? I mean, little thing. Oh, she had a baby. You could tell she still has weight on, you know what I mean? Everything. I think that I am secure in my artistry, in my talent, and have been for quite some time, that I don't feel like I'm, you know, ever compared to them at this point. I mean, unless it's a great thing where it's like, oh, you sounded like, you know, whatever.
Right.
There, you know, there have been missteps. There have been, you know, things that I did for the money. There have been, you know, I think my children are my everything. So I think I'm sort of choosing more wisely, like, and reinventing myself at this point in my life. As a director, I feel like I found this new thing that is that I thought, oh my God, this is like fits like a glove. Like, it really feels comfortable and I feel secure in it, and I might even do it better than I was an actress.
Listen, there's always another hyphen. There's another hyphen. The book is fabulous. I recommend to everyone to pick up Growing Up Fisher at a bookstore, but also get it on the Audible because I really love hearing you read it because you're sassy
nighttime,
little voice.
Nighttime stories.
Yeah. It's like,
you have such a good voice.
Yeah. You know. It's a really, really good
Somebody
voice.
Somebody said to me in the middle of a store, came running over there, I knew it was you. I heard your laugh. And I was like,
what a wonderful
what?
Thing to be known for.
I know. I was
That's
like,
cool.
It surprised me. But I guess people hear the voice and I think it's a great way to consume my book if you if you want to hear it, but I think that if you read
then
the book,
get the pictures.
You get the pictures, but you'll also you don't get pictures.
Not an audio.
Oh, an ebook. I was thinking an ebook. Yeah, you can't
like,
hear a picture.
Now here's
Jolie.
One of me.
I'm going to describe the picture.
Let me tell you about one of my favorite picture. Well, this the inside cover is my mother and father. They're marquees opposite of each other in Las Vegas
oh
on
my
the
God.
Strip.
That's
and
cool.
I'm a. A tiny person. It's about the time where my dad was shooting up in front of me. And
great visual.
That's pretty crazy. Honestly, I wish you had described the pictures in the audiobook.
Okay.
We've missed out on something.
My most favorite picture, I think. I mean, I had about 1,900 pictures.
Oh, I'm sure.
Scanned in, and I sort of like gave them over, shaking like a leaf, like, okay, here. And then they kind of chose what they felt
nice.
Like. Was represented the stories that I told and all that kind of thing. But there's a picture of my mother and my father came to parents' weekend. This, mind you, my mother and father were not together till after I was 2 years old. They came to parents' weekend at Emerson College in Boston. They hadn't seen each other in a decade,
and
they came in the same sweater.
No!
It's look at
Holy
my face.
Shit. You're like, what is happening?
Is,
does no compute.
By the way, a like, loud 80s sweater from French
it's
Connection
floral.
Women.
Not even the cutest
where
sweater.
Eddie Fisher, like you
interesting
know.
Choice.
Yeah.
Eddie?
Definitely not
with
a man's sweater.
I think he probably had purple velvet loafers on at the same time, too.
Oh, my God.
This is
that's
great.
Insane.
It's pretty cool. All right. When we come back, Jolie's going to hang around and help you fix your life because we always give horrible advice.
Hey, ladies!
Funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
And we're back. Before we start, Ask Lady Gang, if you guys want 20% off jackvanik.com, use code Lady Gang. So, because you're so wise,
oh my God,
you're going to help us answer some questions.
You're like a
from
cat. You've lived like 19 lives.
I know.
I ain't done yet.
Okay, so our first question comes from Jill. Jill says, my fiance's best friend is getting married in June, and my fiance is the best man. In the past few years, I have not been getting along with his best friend's fiance. I tried apologizing for my partner falling out, and she didn't accept it and actually said some really hurtful things to me. One of which being she didn't want us, my fiance and I, dating at all. I recently found out that I am not invited to their wedding.
Mm.
My fiance's parents, brother, and sister-in-law are all invited, and yet I am not. I obviously can't change their minds about this, but I was wondering, do I invite her to my wedding?
Ooh. I'm kind of like a vindictive bitch. I would say, oh, of course you should. You know, let bygones
be the bigger person.
But you know what? No.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
There have been a couple of weddings that I have not been invited to recently.
Oh.
And I'm having trouble getting over it.
So, you know, it stings a little
it
bit.
Does. So you know what that feels like.
I'm getting on to stuff.
No. It's super annoying, though, when you, like, it doesn't even feel like she thinks she's that guilty. When you go to someone and you say, hey, like, I'm sorry for my part in this. Like, can we make this right? And the other person's like, I was perfect. And you're like, wait, no, you were. Like, it's very annoying.
Yeah. I guess, like, we don't really know what happened.
Kind of like the president. He doesn't like to apologize for anything. Wait, did I just segue into that? It was her fault.
No, it's like, if you're both at fault, I don't know what happened between them, but it's like, if you're both at fault, and it takes a lot of courage to, like, apologize for something.
Yeah.
So, and to clean up your side of the road, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think you should clean up your side of the road. I agree with the other side of you, which is, like, you should probably just invite her and just be the bigger person, and then in the back of your mind be like, fuck the girl.
But she got uninvited to their wedding. Like,
she didn't get uninvited. She just didn't get invited in the first place.
And her fiance is the best man.
That's crazy. That's crazy train.
Do you think that maybe your fiance has a job here and that might be to sit his best friend down and say, I'm very hurt. And maybe
this is the woman I love.
Yeah.
And
I'm here standing up here supporting you and your wife, your soon to be wife. So you guys need to reciprocate and show your support for us. And then maybe you'll break up the marriage and it'll be amazing.
I honestly
does anybody here feel that these two should not be wed?
Yes. I don't think this marriage
has to do if she ends up going.
I don't think this man friendship is going to last much longer.
No,
if the wives best
don't,
man too.
I know, but if the wives don't get along, mm-mm. It's very like when are they going to see each other?
It's very hard.
Yeah,
you got to have like group. You know, play some cards, play some poker together. Yes. Whatever you do, I don't know. What do adults do? I don't know. All I do is sleep when I have time off. Okay, keep going.
All right, our
come on over.
Question.
You want to watch infomercials and take a nap with me? Guys, it'll be so fun.
That sounds
sexy. I'll give you some water and chips out of a bag.
You don't have chips in your house. I know this
That's
for a
true.
Fact.
I have no food
chips.
Because I'm never.
She has no food.
Yeah. I have some cloves of garlic. Enjoy.
Oh, God, that's my nightmare. All right, our second question comes from
feet.
Ugh, garlic and feet. Mm-mm. The second question comes from McLovin. And she says, my boyfriend says he wants to spice things up in the bedroom, so I suggested buying a vibrator. He thinks that if I get that, I will be replacing him, which I am not. How do I tell him it's okay to incorporate toys in the bedroom?
Bye. Break up.
The boyfriend?
Yeah. Done.
How old are these people?
I don't know. I didn't get an age.
Sometimes they give their age. What do you think?
I say invite other people over.
Ooh.
Really?
Like, you think this is weird and you're going to wait until I get another guy in here.
Yeah. Or a girl. Or either girl. One.
Whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a choice.
I think...
Well, it's like how... He was the one that suggested spicing things up. So, like, I don't know how many things that you can do that don't involve...
It's got to be a young person, though, because who hasn't, like,
had a toy
in the... Yeah. I mean, not that you know.
Need one?
I think you just sort of, like, introduce it and be like, you're going to like it. Because I'm going to be really excited. And it's going to make you excited. And it's all going to be so much better.
And maybe just, like, don't talk about it and just, like, whip it out, like, mid...
Yes, Jack, do that.
But what? Like, when it's, like, they're...
Surprise!
Like, you're in the middle of bring out a toy.
What's less sexy than actually having a discussion about a vibrator?
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about my vibrator.
So, we're really turned on, so I think it's time to bring out the toy right now.
Maybe get him a little drunk.
Yeah, get him drunk.
Get him tipsy, right? Oh, yeah. And, like, you
for
know...
Sure. That's our answer for most things.
Most things, yeah.
And just make sure the toy's not, like, super aggressive.
Yeah, don't bring out, like, the gigantic black dildo. Yeah. That's like in the movies. You know what I mean?
That might make him feel less than.
Exactly.
You're like the two-headed cock.
With good reason. Yeah.
Instead of, yes. Or like, I sit on this and so do you.
It's a double butt plug.
Yes. No, don't do that.
No.
A teeny little vibrator.
One that looks like something else.
Yes. Yeah, maybe not like a like
one
a
of
dildo,
the ones that looks like a ring. You know the ones that look like,
or like a lipstick.
Yes, a lipstick.
You won't even know. Yeah. You won't even know.
Like, what is I had a what sex is... toy Tupperware party at my house once.
Oh, what does that even mean?
Why?
That sounds
people
amazing.
Come over and sell the your lady friends
ooh.
Things.
Ooh.
They made
it's like
more
a Mary Kay,
money
but...
that night than they ever had before.
That's amazing.
Because my friends clearly were desperate for things.
The double butt plug was a hit. You did?
Do you still have the contact of the person?
I know, right?
I know. That sounds like something we should
in
do.
In a very special issue of Angelino.
Was it Angelino?
Angelino has... Jolie
you
has
are a class act.
No, this is what I love. This is what I love. Because she's like, oh, Hollywood?
So
yeah, I actually am you, Hollywood, so I'm going to do whatever the F I want.
It's true.
I appreciate.
It's true.
That's amazing.
While everyone else is being like,
buttoned
no
up and
comment.
Ugh.
Barf.
No
nothing
comment.
Worse. All right. Our last question comes from Anonymous. Mm. Ooh, and Anonymous is a boy.
How do you know that?
Well, he says, I'm one of your few male listeners.
Oh.
We have 99.9% female listeners.
But this is why. And I often listen to your podcast with my girlfriend who loves you guys. I'm keeping my name anonymous because I know she listens. I'm looking for advice on proposing.
Ooh.
I know I want to spend the rest of my life with her and we are both in a good place in our lives with good jobs and benefits and everything. I'm more than
okay.
ready to
so romantic.
I have an idea. I have an idea already.
What?
Let's all of us propose to her.
Yes.
And then kick
yes.
your boyfriend out.
Me with a big
no,
double
for him.
No, we should do it for him.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Wait, we should.
She doesn't know that she's listening right now and she doesn't know it's her
she
that
doesn't
we're talking
know it's her.
About.
Oh,
wait,
my God.
Tell Anonymous that he needs to send an email
and
to
tell us your
Hello Lady
yes. Hello Lady Gang @gmail.com. We will do it for
we
you.
We will propose.
Oh my God,
it might
be
not
amazing.
Be the best idea.
I know.
I don't know. Probably wait, regret yes. it. Wait, finish out the rest, though.
Oh, yeah, there's
the lady
question.
Gang proposed to me tonight.
I mean, like, that's so
we listened one time, and I said that girl, Becca's voice, annoyed the shit out of me.
She's like, I don't even know what all your names are.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Wait, remember the time in the Facebook group someone was like, who's Jack Vanek?
Yeah, no. Somebody didn't know who I was in our own Facebook group, and I'm like, I'm in this damn group. Okay. Anyways. Okay, he says, I'm more than ready to settle down with her, but I'm stuck on how to propose to her. How do I plan something special that she won't expect? Becca and Kelty, how did your husband surprise you? Any advice would be appreciated.
Speaking of sex toys.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if I've ever told this story.
I don't think you have. You have, because I remember it.
On the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You did.
I don't know it.
Yes, you will.
I don't
maybe,
know
okay,
it.
Well, start
I'm
again.
Here.
It's not
yeah.
that exciting. We were in Seattle. I was there working. He came to visit, or we went together at this point, and it's like the least glamorous thing in the world. We were at, like, they put us up at the W. And
oh, it's horrible there.
No, I just mean it's like,
boo.
I mean, like,
I thought you were saying the Best Western, like, fast
suddenly
company.
Suddenly W
in.
Drops out of all.
Yeah, we are no longer sponsoring
not that it's like
the lady. Whatever. So we go out to this cute little bar called Cannon in Seattle. If you live there, you need to go. If you're visiting, it's great. We have a couple cocktails. And at this point, like, we had been talking about eventually getting married. But I was like, I was a smart ass. And I said, you're never going to be able to surprise me. There's no way. Like, I know everything, every Christmas present. I always find out before the main event. And it's just such a bummer. So I was sort of challenging him in this moment to not be a basic bitch and do something predictable. So we go home that night. And at this point, I had no idea that there was a ring, that he had any plans. It was so hypothetical. We get to the W,
And in their like mini bar, they have the sex kits. You know, they have the like spicy lubricant, condom, you can't whatever.
Forget your stuff at home. Yeah.
Feather.
Yeah, like a feather. One single feather.
Like a
cheap-ass feather from a boa.
It's purple.
Yes. So he goes to the
you
bathroom.
You know the kids well, then.
I do, yeah.
Yes.
It.
He goes to the bathroom, and I think it's going to be so funny to lay the lubricant on his pillow. So when he comes out of the bathroom, it's such a surprise. He comes out of the bathroom. And he's acting kind of weird, and he's not seeing the lubricant on the pillow. So I sit down on the bed, and I'm like, I'm so funny. And I'm just sitting there, like, waiting. And then I look over, and he's down on one knee holding my fucking ring. And he's like, it's a shame I can't surprise you. And I burst into tears because it was just so... I was just talking shit to him, and he was like, I had this in my bag to propose at a better, more meaningful moment that's coming up, but you just talked so much shit to me that I had no choice, but this is the moment. And then I was like, and I was surprised you with lubricant.
I also have a surprise for you right here on the pillow.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. So don't do that. Okay. Even though it was really fun, I really think that you have so few surprises in life that if you can... Like, guys are just really bad. Like, they tell it, like, with their faces and with their eyes. Like, try so hard. I don't know. What
and, like,
should you do?
I think pay attention. We've talked about this before, but, like, what kind of girl that she is. So if she's the kind of girl that, like, likes
to
show
off
parties and likes to be showy, like,
friends.
Do it in some kind of way like that. Mm-hmm. If there's somebody like Becca that, like, probably, like, would hate something like that, like, do it in a hotel room with some lube behind you.
Yeah.
Like, really,
like
really.
Like, skywriting. Yeah. Is, some people don't want. They're
not into it. Not a jumbotron.
You get worked of it.
Much like yours,
really?
Actually. But it was in our own house, and there was nudity involved. But it was
like,
no
both
ring.
Nude?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was very, very, I mean, we hadn't known each other that long, and he was like, I'm going to marry you. And I was like, is this your proposal? It sucks.
Did he have a ring?
No. Oh.
But that was like it. That was the proposal.
No, and then I made him buy me a really big ring. Yes.
And it's really big.
It is.
And let me tell you. Also,
I was like, thank
it's
you for
really big, accompanied by
a bigger,
another giant
another big
big
ring.
Can I see? It's just been so
huge. So which one was the original?
This one.
And then what's the other one?
That's my 10th anniversary. And this year we're married 21 years.
Holy shit. How long did you know each other before you proposed?
Like 3 months.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Did anyone poo-poo it?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. And
how
we got
long?
We were like planning this big wedding, and then one night I just sat up and I was like, what about New Year's Eve? New Year's Eve is like a celebration for everybody, and you know, I know it's like taking people's party, you know, whatever their plans are away from them, but if we tell them 6 months in advance, save the date and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. We had 650 people at our wedding.
That's too many
at
people.
At Raleigh Studios.
That's too many people.
On
joy.
The stage that we met.
No way.
Oh, that's romantic.
And it was
okay, you can stay.
Fantastic.
Oh, holy
and we're
cow.
Still married.
Wow.
We don't talk at all.
I don't even
the
know
key
him.
To marriage.
No, that's what Dolly Parton said.
But I put on these cute sneakers yesterday.
They are very
that I got
cute.
For my
They're
birthday.
Super cute.
They're really
and
cute.
He goes, you should wear sneakers more often. You're really hot in sneakers.
Aww.
I was like, what? Who are you?
That's cute.
Yeah, he's cute. He's a cute guy.
I think the best thing to do is to say something from the heart because guys are not great communicators. And when Chris proposed to me, I won't get into it, but he did like stop and like say some very heartfelt things about like why he knew I was the one. And he said his whole life, his mother was he said, you're going to end up with someone who sees you the way I see you and sees how great you are. And like, you know, anyway, but he's not like really, he doesn't write cards and he doesn't like really express his love very often. So it's nice.
He
to,
leaves
like,
you notes in your fucking suitcases when you travel.
But
what are you
hearts.
Talking about? Are you kidding me? It's hard for me to get
that's
Zach to
cute.
Make eye contact
You're newly
with
married,
me.
I'm assuming.
No. Well, 4 years. So
yeah.
Not too long.
Yeah. That goes away, by the way.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's
anyway,
4 years,
mine never came. So I know. I mean, I can't be let down.
Notes at 4 years for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
I
wait
just
for
think
10.
Make it like, you know, just.
The notes are going to be like,
get
clean
eggs.
Dishes.
Right. We need eggs.
Anyway, well, you're a good advice giver. The book is
Thank
fabulous.
You.
Can we keep this copy to give away?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll sign it for
we'll
you.
Yeah.
We're
going
to do an autographed Instagram giveaway of this book. So get very excited, ladies and gentlemen. And you guys can follow Jolie
on her social media. It's Ms. Jolie Fisher on Twitter and Instagram. And you're very funny. And we just loved having you.
Thanks for having us.
You're really way too good
for
us.
Can I come back again?
Yeah,
anytime. This is so, such a nice way
to
spend the
evening. Only bring your daughters. They could learn something.
Oh, my God.
Get it out.
Make sure to follow us.
By the way, we didn't say anything tonight that my daughters haven't heard.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they are also in the fishbowl. So. Yeah,
exactly.
There you go. Follow us on Instagram at Becca, at Kelty, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. And make sure to head on over to iTunes and share this podcast with your friends and hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review because that is what
we
makes
deserve
us,
it.
Yeah,
we
are so good about
it. Give us a validation.
Not 2 stars, a full 5 stars. Stars for all this effort. God. Okay, hope you win the book, and we will
see you next Tuesday.
Yay! Yay!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Thanks for listening.